with a high around 43. It's time for the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. You can also tune in and listen online at WKOK.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
The Sunbury Motor Studio, a.k.a. the Chateau. Great to have Mike Miller, the coach, Sarah Bartlett all here to listen to Kevin Herr and the Chief call the game on Friday night. We had a big party here. We had one great time.
I had a great time at the game.
Yeah, I know you did. You had a great time. You were excited. Texted me after the game.
So I got two more games. I got two more games.
Good job. And you did a great job in the game.
Thank you. We had a ball. The girls won the first game, so the Chief was I don't even know what cloud it was. I lost count on how many clouds he was on, but he came up very happy, and then the boys finished off a big win over Sealands Grove as well to finally make it to the District 4 championship game, and that win guaranteed him a first-round playoff game, too.
Well done. I thought it was a great game to listen to, a lot of fun. And did we have fun here? What a party it was here at the Chateau.
I'm glad you enjoyed the little festivities at the Chateau.
We did. Someday, you'll have to show up.
Well, that happened already. Remember, the door was locked. You never said yeah. You just said show up. You didn't say come in. You just said show up.
Okay. Well, I was out washing my car that night. But well done. Great win. Enjoyed it very much. Now, I had one of those teaching moments from my class here at Penn State, which occurred yesterday.
Okay.
I'm watching SportsCenter. And you know... the high regard which I hold SportsCenter in.
Absolutely. They only do the top stories in sports.
They only something. And years ago, back in the 80s, when SportsCenter was on, I felt as a sports fan it was must-see TV.
I would agree with that.
Must-see TV. Highlights of every game, things you didn't see before, you wouldn't see on your local sports, whatever. Okay. And I remember how disappointed I was when SportsCenter got knocked back from 30 to 15 minutes. What are you doing over there?
I'm typing.
You're typing?
I'm listening to you and getting some things prepared.
What?
Your music, okay? If you must
My
know.
My music?
Your music.
Just hum, all right?
All right, continue with your story.
You're distracted, all right? So, it was cut back from 30 to 15 minutes at one point in the 80s, and I was really disappointed. So I started watching, actually, CNN Sports Tonight with the late Nick Charles and Fred Hickman because it was a half hour, it was organized, it was really well done. They went to baseball, they did all the American League, boom. Then they would do all the National League. Then they would do all the NHL. They would keep it all in one group. Now, 30 years later, it's all SportsCenter all the time. There are 18 SportsCenters on a day.
Well, there's one whole channel dedicated to SportsCenters.
That's true, which is fine. I'm not that fine with
it. Nothing wrong with it.
Nope, that's fine. Right. So... I'm watching SportsCenter yesterday. In the absence of, by the way, that you know, we're going to have a huge Daytona 500 party here tonight. Stopping by?
I may have to make the trip for that. Well, that's assuming I have a friend in Daytona right now. I'm hoping he gets a chance to call us. By the looks of it, he's not going to be doing much else right now. But he said the rain is supposed to continue until about 7 o'clock tonight.
He said, it takes 2 hours to drive.
Right.
The track.
He said we may not be racing until 9. So anyway, but anyway, it looks like, you know, they're scheduled for a 7 o'clock start, even though it may not happen.
So I'm watching SportsCenter yesterday. I have watched the Ohio State Wisconsin game. So obviously I know who won the game. So they go to the Ohio State Wisconsin highlights. they spot shadow Jared Sullinger. Okay. All right, the largest person out there. I don't know why you need to spot shadow
yeah,
him.
Do you need the
ahead.
Circle? Yeah.
And they show that he makes the catch, which he's really good at, because a lot of big guys are not very good at catching the ball. They disrupt an entire play by the inability to catch. Show him catch. Jordan Taylor doubles down. Sullinger does a great job. He spots Deshaun Thomas going to the bucket, flips it to him. Thomas scores. Okay, I understand. Then they show Sullinger again. This time he catches. No double team. Senses it. Drop step to the baseline. Scores. Basically, Stuart Scott saying how sick it is that he does that.
Booyah.
Yeah. I would also like to point out for the uninitiated that with 10 minutes to go in the game, in other words, 30 minutes in, Sullinger had 4 points.
That's a big game.
Four. Okay? Didn't take long to count them. Okay? They show 12 highlights of the game. 12. I counted. Because it started to get a little absurd. 12 highlights. 9 were Ohio State highlights. 3 were Wisconsin highlights. And Wisconsin won the game.
And Wisconsin was the winner. Wow.
Wisconsin won.
But you have to wonder who sits in there in the studio and looks at all this going, okay, this is a good highlight. This is a... No, they just randomly pull highlights from whatever the big moment was, or in their mind, or the big player, and then
because
just run
Ohio,
those.
Ohio State's a big name. Sullinger's a big name. So they went with that direction.
Well, please tell me you used that in your class.
I did.
As an example of not what not to do.
Now, I don't mind, for example, say there's 12 highlights, 7 are Ohio State, 5 are Wisconsin. You know, they show you the flow of the game, what happened. You know, I don't care about that. But what I care about is that they spot Shadow Sullinger, who did not have a good game, and show that really the 2 plays he made in the game. All right? Wisconsin wins the game. And it's almost like it was obligatory. They had to give them the 3rd highlight. It was the winning shot.
Well, yeah, I was going to say they had to run it at that point.
Yeah, Jared Berggren, who the Penn State fans are all too familiar with, he dropped 2 threes down the stretch when Penn State cut it to 5. Well, he drops a 3 against Ohio State, puts the, you know, and wins the game at the end. They win 63-60. But how do you, in all consciousness, show a highlight package with 12 highlights in it and have 75% be, I mean, and they're all great plays, right? You know, Aaron Kraft on a runner, Deshaun Thomas in the lane, Sullinger, spotlight shadow. How do you show 75% of the highlights of positive plays made by the losing team? I'm baffled by what I'm watching now. Am I too old? Am I off the reservation here?
Well, this is no different than what I was watching during right before the rain delay at Daytona, and we talked about this last week. Fox right now is betting money, serious advertising money, on the fact that Danica does well in the 500. And even if she doesn't, that's great because they're going to talk to her every 5 seconds. So what they do is they basically have a camera following her the entire pre-race ceremony. They're doing cutaways with her talking to Tony Stewart, and then they're discussing this. And then Darrell Waltrip does this whole piece on her coming into NASCAR and how the entire focus of NASCAR right now is on her and not really anybody else. And Trevor Bayne's sitting there going, hey, you know what? I won this race last year. Remember that? It was really cool. I drove across the finish line. I got to wave the checkered flag. Nobody seemed to care.
I understand. Now, there are certain people and personalities, all right, that no matter what, must be included in the narrative.
Absolutely.
Okay? No matter where he finishes, Tiger Woods must be in the story somewhere.
Right.
I mean, I'm doing the sports. First thing I tell you about is who won. But somewhere in the narrative of the story, I tell you where Tiger Woods finished because there are legions of people, whether you like him or you don't like him, want to know what Tiger Woods did.
That's right.
Danica Patrick. No matter where she finishes, It doesn't matter whether Dale Jr. wins the race, Tony Stewart. You'll leave with Tony Stewart or Dale Jr. or Trevor Bayne or Jeff Gordon winning the race. And then talk about how it played out. At some point in the narrative, or if it's on TV in the graphic, you do put where Danica Patrick finished.
But it's not going to be that way. It's going to be the other way around.
No, but I'm at least recognizing...
That's the way it should be.
I'm at least recognizing that no matter what the story, they have to be in there.
You know, that's like saying, Tiger Woods, 5-unders, not good enough to win. By the way, Phil Mickelson was the winner.
It's like... Which we see all the time. I saw a golf package last year. Same thing. I remember it specifically. There were 11 highlights. 8 were Tiger Woods. Okay? One was of another guy in contention, and 2 are of the winner.
Only 2.
Woods finished back of the pack. He was like a dozen shots off the lead. But 8 of the highlights were him. Struggling, hitting one, struggling, right? Dropping a 30-foot putt, missing a 2-footer. I don't need to watch that.
Tiger Woods in the rough. Here's Tiger's shot in the rough. It was his second shot on the 14th. It's like, what different? Did he double bogey that or what? I mean...
Like I said, I freely admit that they have to be in the story. Danica Patrick has to be in every NASCAR story. She
Absolutely.
Has to be. Because she has crossover popularity.
She's the franchise right now.
Mm-hmm. Franchise or not, she still has crossover personality. Right?
Yeah, but they're looking for her to save NASCAR's, you know, waning numbers right now.
Well, I'm sure they are, but I'm just saying, though, she still has the what makes a difference, Kevin, in the popularity of a sport is the casual fan. You have your diehards no matter what. Your diehards are always there. Okay? You always have the core group. You have your core group of Bucknell basketball fans, your core group of Bucknell football fans, Penn State football, Penn State basketball, wrestling. Okay? Your core group of basketball fans, your core group of football fans, baseball fans, your core group. The core group's always there no matter what. Oh, they may be more disgusted on certain days than others, or they may be happier on certain days than others, but the difference in a television rating, okay, the difference in a big attendance number is the number of casual fans that you get interested in what you are doing.
Sure.
Tiger Woods... Pro and con attracts the casual fan. Danica Patrick attracts the casual fan. Thus, they always must be in the narrative somewhere. But they can't dominate the narrative unless they are winning. The winner has to dominate the narrative. The winner's the one that performed the best. The winner's the one that made the moves when it was needed.
We just got an email at stevejones@wkok.com. Said always loved when Oberman and Patrick were doing the race recaps and at least telling you where Dick Trickle finished.
Right,
but it wasn't the lead. It wasn't the lead.
No. But that's fine. That's personality.
Right.
Remember, it's still a TV show.
That's true.
Take a look at what we're doing right now. What we're doing right now is a radio show that is sports, but in the form of entertainment. We're trying to keep people hooked into this show that loves sports, but we're also trying to do it in an entertaining, fun way because it's a show. Now, you can attract certain people to the show with knowledgeable comments, which we hope we do, but at the same time, you have to have some fun. And you have to have give the people out there the feeling that you're having fun. Thus, Kevin and I will have, you know, we'll take little mini shots at each other all in the guise of fun. We'll be getting Sarah Bartlett into the mix in the guise of fun. It's part of the show. Okay? And that, you know, and so it is a TV show, but you can't lose total perspective on what is. You know, when the event takes place, there aren't all the Tiger Woods and Danica Patrick invitationals. They're part of what, you know, they're an important part of the narrative because they do attract the casual fan. They are the crossover personalities. They're closely identified with what they've done in sport and in that particular sport. It's not like being the quarterback in football where you're going to always know what his stats are anyway. 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. A little bit later from Gene Burrows on that tough loss by Penn State to Northwestern. Also, Jermaine Marshall. We'll hear from him as well. Bottom of the hour, Sarah Bartlett with the news. It's 321 on WKOK. Sunbury Motor Ford.
We'll see how it plays out. Now, she's with a great team.
Oh, that's for sure.
She's with a great team, the Tony Stewart group. You know, excellent.
Well, and there's a former open wheel guy himself.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. And one of the few that have made the crossover now to NASCAR successfully. I mean, Dario Franchitti was dominant in IndyCar, made the crossover, and was non-existent. Juan Pablo Montoya, he's been, okay. Hasn't really, torn up everything. But, there was another crossover driver. Sam Hornish Jr. has not had a whole lot of success since crossing over to NASCAR. Robbie Gordon, not a whole lot of success since crossing over to NASCAR. So the odds are definitely not in your favor if you go from open wheels to NASCAR. But it helps to be on a solid team.
Very nice. That might be, it's very nice. By the way, Ali Stevens did a piece with Vince Papale.
That's correct.
I believe we're playing it this week.
Yes.
Have you selected what day yet? I mean, I don't want, it's obvious one of the two remembered on the show, Ali.
Well, I remembered. I was just waiting for the opportunity, which would probably be either Tuesday or Thursday, one of the days that begins with a T.
Oh, boy.
Go ahead. Ask me the question you're going to ask me. Why one of those 2 days?
Why one of those 2 days?
I really don't know. It just seemed right.
We're also going to have Ron Musselman, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette.
I'm looking forward to that one.
Yes, that'll be on Wednesday. How about that?
Yeah, that should be a really entertaining one. I mean, he's covered some great stuff.
Yes, he has. That should be a fun one to listen to and to talk about. And we'll have that on Wednesday for you. And of course, Wednesday we also have Penn State basketball against Purdue. Now, the game on, I'll get to the game here in a few moments. And we're going to hear from Gene Burrows. Talking with Dick Girardi. I talked to DJ this afternoon in Boca Raton, I might add.
Really?
Girardi? Oh, yes.
In the middle of the basketball season?
Aren't you in tune with the sports scene?
Obviously, no.
Union Rags ran yesterday.
Oh, okay.
At Gulfstream.
I should have guessed it had something to do with horses.
It's now the Kentucky Derby favorite. And I watched. Dick gave me his passcode to watch on the computer because it wasn't on TV. They were too busy cutting up Ohio State highlights.
The real question is, did anybody make any money on it? That's the real question.
I know I'm getting a free dinner.
That's all that matters.
Love how that horse runs. Sarah Bartlett coming up bottom of the hour with the news.
Your information source 7 days a week. News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Changing the Prevailing Wage Act, plus the State of the City address coming up. AccuWeather says sunshine mixing with some clouds, breezy and mild this afternoon, high 57. A good afternoon to you. I'm Sarah Bartlett. State Representative Fred Keller is sponsoring legislation to raise the threshold of the Prevailing Wage Act from $25,000 to $185,000. Enacted in 1961, Pennsylvania's Prevailing Wage Act established establishes prevailing minimum wage rates that must be paid on public construction projects. The rate has never changed, and Keller says the current threshold of $25,000 is archaic, obsolete, and needs to be adjusted to the rate of inflation. Snyder County Commissioner Joe Kanz agrees and supports Keller's legislation.
This is a common sense approach to updating our laws, which are very much outdated with prevailing wage.
The legislation was advanced by the House Labor and Industry Committee to the House and is now being considered. This is the week Sunbury Mayor David Persing will give his State of the City address. The address will be open to the public Wednesday at 7 p.m. at the Degenstein Community Library. Mayor David Persing will be discussing Sunbury's future and the recently completed comprehensive plan. The public is encouraged to attend. Persing will also be a guest on an upcoming On the Mark program to talk about the State of the City address. The Danville man who shot and killed himself after being charged with sexually assaulting a 16-year-old girl was a former Danville police officer and a constable. 68-year-old Richard Lewis shot himself at a rest area along Interstate 80 in Montour County Saturday night. He was pronounced dead a short time later at Geisinger Medical Center. Lewis worked for the Danville Police Department for more than 20 years and then served as a state constable. Earlier in the day Saturday, he was charged with rape, endangering the welfare of a child, and sexual assault. A Millville woman was cited for animal cruelty after police found a horse carcass on her property. 50-year-old Bonnie Headings was charged after a horse carcass was discovered outside of her Pine Tree Road home. A police investigation revealed that the horse was underweight, distressed, and in need of euthanasia. A McClure woman is locked up in Snyder County Prison, charged with four separate theft incidents in November and December. 20-year-old Devin Lafty was charged with burglarizing a home and a shed on South Stuck Street in McClure in November. She's also charged with burglarizing two homes on West Railroad Street in December. Police say stolen items include electronics, chainsaws, tools, pills, and clothing. Bail was set at $25,000. It's time once again for the Knoebels Job Fair. It'll be held Saturday, March 3rd from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Elysburg Fire Company Hall in Elysburg. Between 600 and 800 seasonal workers will be hired for jobs including food service, ride operators, ticket sales, pool staff, and more. More information at 672-2572. AccuWeather says sunshine mixing with some clouds, breezy and mild this afternoon, high 57. Clear, brisk, and cold tonight, a low 27. Back to the Steve Jones Show right after this on WKOK.
Well, Motors out here in Beaver Springs. As the presidential race heats up, so do the savings at Beaver Motors Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram during the 2012 President's Day event now through the end of the month. Take an additional $1,000 or more finance bonus on Ram 1500, Town and Country, minivans, most Grand Caravans and Journeys, 200s, 300s, Chargers, Durangos, Liberties, Compasses, and Patriots. But only during the 2012 President's Day event through the end of the month. Maybe we'll find out the answers to the presidential questions like, did Taft really get wedged in his bathtub? Was Chester Arthur married to B. Arthur? Was Millard Fillmore really the last president to run on the Know-Nothing Party? And what's the deal with Van Buren's sideburns? Get these answers and a whole lot more at Beaver Motors between Sealands Grove and Lewistown on Route 522 in Beaver Springs. Or online at www.beavermotors.net.
Hi, this is Cindy Bonowitz at the Sunbury office of the Bowen Agency. Spring is definitely on the way, the season of anticipation for our local real estate market. We have great properties available, and buying a home now is so doable. Let's talk about your special needs and those fillies. Let me go to bat for you.
Bowen Agency Realtors in Sewens Grove, Lewisburg, and Sunbury. On the web at bowenagency.com. Coming or going, see a realtor at Bowen. Designer Homes is proud to announce a new, affordable, and stylish home, the Harvest Gold. This home's perfect for first-time homebuyers. Starting at just $69,995, this over 1,300-square-foot home is loaded. Three bedrooms, two baths, and kitchen with lots of cabinets, plus many upgrades standard inside and out. You'll think you hit pay dirt with the Harvest Gold. Don't delay. Stop and tour today on the Designer Homes lot in Mifflinburg. Call 966-6244 or visit online at designerhomesofpa.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
The Sunbury Motors Studio at the Palatial Chateau. What a great time we had here on Friday night. As Kevin was doing the basketball game, Miller was here. Coach was here. Bartlett was here.
Wow, sounds like a crowded house.
Oh, it was great. No, the Chateau's Palace with plenty of room.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah, big screen TVs. Really, oh, what a great time. Listening to the game. Some people making comments. Oh, well. It went great.
I'll tell you what, it was, like as I said earlier, some of the most fun I have had in a long time calling a basketball game. And that was because it was a really good game, too. I mean, you look at the score and you think, well, wait a minute, there wasn't even 70 points scored in the game, but it was the most entertaining, low-scoring game I have ever seen.
We had a blast. Chip and dip night here at the Chateau.
And, you know, you must be some sort of an oracle, because if you remember on Thursday when we had Tim Ford on the program, you were asking him about the lines, the three-point line and the foul line being the difference in the game. And it was. Braves getting all of their points in the fourth period from the free throw line. I think it was 14 of 16 from the free throw line in the fourth period and ended up icing the game from the line. So you actually hit it right on the nose.
I've been around the block a few times.
You said it.
You know? So, well, I'm happy for them. It's a great win. And it's sad for the Ceiling Groves kid.
Yeah, it's a tough loss. Yeah,
it's hard. Yep. It's a hard loss.
I mean, they had a great season.
Happy for the Schick kids. That's great.
Yeah, Ceilings Grove had a great season, a hard-fought season. You know, it's tough to beat a team even three times in a season, let alone even when you face them four times. It's really difficult to beat a team three times.
Yes and no.
Okay.
Yes and no on that.
Why would the no?
If you're the better team, you should beat them three times in one year.
Well, all right, but
okay. If you're the better team, it is a competitive series,
right?
Yes. If it's competitive, talent's pretty close. Games have been close. But for example, you're the better team. You have more talent. Beating a team three times in one year is no mean feat.
Well, it should be what you do. Yeah.
Yeah, you should beat them three times. Now, we often talk about the last play of a game being the defining play.
Sure.
Penn State had one of those the other night.
Yeah.
John Scherner comes down the floor. There's some dispute as to whether he walks. There's a lot of dispute as to whether the block was clean. Regardless, that is not where the game is lost. For Penn State, that's not where the game is won for Northwestern. You have a 57-possession game. In those 57 possessions, you have opportunities. Now, Penn State defensively, the final five possessions against Northwestern up to the Scherner play, plays beautiful defense. On offense, though, Penn State on offense ends up sputtering. When Northwestern's in a 1-3-1, you have a guard at the front and you have a guard at the back. And that guard at the back normally is the shortest person on the floor for you. And for Northwestern, that's Dave Sobolewski, the freshman, at 6'1". When they went 1-3-1, Penn State destroyed that thing. Northwestern hit 15 threes in the game. 15 of them. That's 45 points in this game from outside the arc. And Penn State's countering that with twos, which is fine. That's the way the game's played out. And Penn State with John Graham, Ross Travis, Cam Woodyard, they are destroying this 1-3-1. There was a couple times in the game where Bill Carmody drops it and goes man-to-man. Goes man-to-man. Okay. That's fine. And they had some success. I thought they were better in the man-to-man than they were in the 1-3-1. So now they come down the stretch, and he totally scraps the 1-3-1 and goes man-to-man. In those five pivotal possessions where Penn State comes up dry, they run one outstanding out-of-bounds play that goes to Cam Woodyard. He gets the ball. He fades away from about 8 feet, but he's short. He missed the shot, but is the play right? Absolutely. 14.1 seconds to go. Frazier gives up the ball to John Graham. Graham makes the catch. He's fouled hard, trying to make the layup. It is absolutely the right play. Turns out that Graham does not hit the free throws as he did against Iowa. He hit the Iowa free throws to help put it away. Northwestern, he missed both. But the other three possessions that were pivotal in this game, Tim Frazier is the one guy that against man-to-man, there is not a player on the team for Northwestern that can guard him. Not one guy for Northwestern has the ability, has the physical capability of guarding Tim Frazier. Why is it that other people were taking shots? Jermaine Marshall, Cam Woodyard. Give the ball back to Frazier and let Frazier make something happen instead of some of the shots they got. The players have to understand who the best guy is, and they have to understand who has the best matchup. And the players did not recognize that on those three possessions, and it cost Penn State. I'm not guaranteeing you that Frazier makes the shots, but at least let the guy that is the best guy on the floor for you, that has the best matchup on the floor for you, get the opportunity to make those shots. And that's how it played. That's where they lost the game in two areas. 15 threes by Northwestern, coming up empty on five consecutive possessions to close after the Frazier three-point play. It does not come down to the fact of whether Schurna walked or whether Schurna was fouled or whatever. If they had done the job on two of those five possessions, it's over. Even on one of the five, it's over. Did not. After the game, Gene Burrows sat down with Dick Girardi to talk about how the game closed out and what happened.
Back at the Jordan Center, Northwestern 67, Penn State 66 with Gene Burrows. Gene, it's kind of hard to win a game when you get outscored 45-9 from the three-point line, but there you were with a chance at the end. What did you see on that last defensive possession where John Graham went up to contest the shot and the foul was called on, and John Schurna made the two?
You know, I thought it was a tough play. You know, we missed the free throws, came down, we're in the scramble defense, we got matched up. And I thought Schurna took a tough shot. You know, he took a shot with two guys on him, like a turnaround jumper. You know, from our end, it looked like it was a clean block, and the official called the foul kind of late.
And what were you trying to get on the inbound? You had one timeout. You threw the ball up to Timmy. Was he supposed to call timeout or just go, depending on what he saw, or what were you looking for there?
Trying to get a timeout, you know, okay. So we can kind of get organized and run the play and figure out what we wanted to do. And, you know, we got a great shot. You know, John got fouled and unfortunately missed the free throws down the stretch. And, you know, after we came down and played some great defense in that situation, the last possession.
Yeah, and to come, you were down nine. Looks like you're in real trouble in the game. And then to get back and get in front, again, Tim Frazier, 23 points, 8 assists, 1 turnover. We've been saying it all year, but what did you see from your point guard tonight?
No, he played great. You know, I think in the first half, the 1-3-1 kind of stifled us a little bit. You know, we're a little tentative, didn't make shots, and Tim was kind of a little hesitant, you know, driving the basketball. In the second half, we got more just got used to it, you know, and Tim made great plays. We started ball screening the 1-3-1, and he got into the lane, got twos, got some kick out, made a couple threes. You know, he played a great game,
And to get outscored 45-9 from three, but you outscored them 40-10 in the lane. The place where we saw the 1-3-1 was vulnerable was on the baseline. Clearly, that's what you all saw. You were throwing it down there.
We did. You know, they have a small guy in the back of the 1-3-1, right. So we threw a couple lobs. And I thought Tim did a great job in the second half of just breaking them down and getting into the lane. So it put a lot of pressure on their defense. And you know what? They're a team that's going to try to outscore you. You know, they're playing five or six guys, seven guys at the most. So they're trying to find ways to just keep you at bay so they can go on the other end and outscore you. And, you know, I think a big key for us in this game was trying to force them to shoot contested threes, because they're going to shoot 25 threes a game, but you got to make sure they don't get great looks.
Yeah, and unfortunately they had too many good looks, and everybody was making them tonight. I mean, they had six different players make threes tonight. And for your big players, Graham, Travis, Sasha, 28 among the three of them. I mean, if you can get that, any, you'll take that every night.
Oh, definitely, definitely. I mean, for those guys just to score around the basket for us, Ross Travis, I thought, had a great game. He was hustling, rebounding, had some putbacks. Sasha played great. And I think John has some great minutes in there, too. And, you know, they're a tough team to match up with because they play, you know, the kid Scherner at the five position. So we had John and Sasha playing one of their guards in the perimeter. You know, so they force you into funky matchups. But on the other end, you got to score inside to make them pay for, you know, being smaller than the other end.
Yeah, it seems like it was forever ago when you played this team. It was January 1st. Gene, it's obviously a lot's changed in the last 2 months. Would your team have been able to make this kind of a comeback on January 1st?
No, I don't think we were there at that point. You know, I think we've definitely improved, definitely got a lot better as a basketball team. You know, Tim Frazier's playing more consistent. I think we're just playing better team basketball. So, you know, I'm not sure if we could have came back, you know, in January when we first played these guys to be down 8 or 9 and make a run at it. And our kids, I thought, did a great job in the second half just being consistent, moving the basketball, making great plays.
And Northwestern, was a lot of pressure on them tonight. They're obviously playing for an NCAA berth. This is a team, a league of unusual teams, styles, Wisconsin. I mean, you've seen it all now. Mm-hmm. To play, how hard is it to get ready? Because this is your first time through. Yep. To see night after night, it's something different.
You know, it's tough. You know, this team is probably, you know, a tough team to play against because of their ability to shoot the three. You know, and the first time we played them, they had their big kid that was hurt in the game with his foot injury. So we were able to match up a little differently. Now when they play small, they're a tough matchup because they shoot so many threes, and you're not going to stop them from shooting threes. You just got to hope they don't make a lot of them.
Yeah.
And, you know, this league's a tough league because you got different styles. You got, you know, a lot of good teams, a lot of good players. You know, so for us, I think we've showed some consistency that, you know what, we can compete with these teams if we play great for 40 minutes.
And tonight, I mean, 15 threes. Again, it's kind of astonishing that you actually have a one-point lead defending to try to win the game at the end, and then the two free throws you get beat. Gene, thank you so much for coming up. That's Gene Burrows, Penn State assistant coach.
And Dick Girardi with Gene Burrows after the game. And again, Northwestern won it by a score of 67-66 at the Jordan Center on Saturday night. So there you go. You okay over there?
Well, I just was looking up on something that just happened. The Eagles rumored to be looking at a number 2 pick. I'm trying to find out more.
I'm sure they're trying to make a trade for it.
That's what I was looking for. Was more,
I mean, the Redskins would like to trade for it. The
sure.
Browns would like to trade for it. Maybe Philadelphia wants RG3.
Well, I'll tell you what, his numbers in the 40 made everybody go, "Whoa, he can move." We knew it, but we didn't know how quickly.
Well, you know, too much has been made of that too. I mean, there, you know, when you look at certain the combine numbers, for example, you know, they can help elevate you because you sit back and say, "I didn't realize." Okay, like take Griffin. I think it's more significant for Griffin that he's taller than they thought he was. He's actually a little bit more than 6'2". That helps him. Everybody knew he was fast. Okay, I mean, everybody knew that going in. Now, is he sub-4.4 fast? Okay, that's great. I mean, that's unbelievable. But it in the National Football League, it's how do you throw the ball? What's your footwork like? Can you feel the pressure? Can you make something out of nothing? How well do you see the field? He has all those qualities. You watch him play at Baylor, you see he has all those qualities. He sees the field well. He feels pressure well. He reacts well to it. He still tries to make a play with his arm first, feet second. Luck has all those qualities. Luck is a very good athlete himself playing quarterback. And those are the things that you look for. You know, did I expect him to run a great time yesterday? Of course I did. I think everybody did. I think what the combines can help when you do a couple things you don't expect. They can hurt you when you do some things where, gee, I expected him to be stronger. I expected him to be faster. I'll take Michael Floyd in Notre Dame. Ran a good time yesterday. That's good. That keeps him in the conversation where he needs to be. I think he's an excellent receiver, and the time he ran in the 40 yesterday was really good. Derek Moy, 4.48 yesterday. Really good. Sub-4.5. Exactly what he needed to do. Johnny Trotman, when you've got a lineman like David Mulk pounding out 41 reps, You know, David Zeitler at 32, Troutman at 31. Good. Keeps him in the conversation. And then he can continue to work out when they have pro day here on March 21st. He'll get an even longer look then.
The statistic, though, that and position that is the biggest waste of time to me is why you're running a defensive tackle in a 40.
Well, you have to chase plays. You have to chase plays. And sometimes you have to chase plays laterally. And when you're chasing plays laterally, sometimes you're laterally chasing 25 yards.
Yeah, but that's laterally in a 40 is two different things to me. I mean, like, for instance, still ran a 5.
If it's lateral, you jog more?
No, I don't think you're not going to run as quick as you will a 40 running straight ahead.
I know, but it still does show at least some speed, some quickness, because they also do the 20-yard shuttles and things like that.
Yeah, see, though, but those are the ones that make more sense. But, you know, you look at some of the updates coming out of the combine, it's like, still ran a 5.08 in the 40. He's a defensive tackle. What, you know, well, I don't want him to be fast. I want him to be quick.
Right. Well, the key with Devin Still is he's quick off the ball. He actually is pretty fast. And at 6'5", plays low. He understands how to play low, and he understands leverage. And that's where Still is going to make himself a lot of money, right? I mean, this, you know, RG3, for example, runs a great time, you know, and that lights a lot of the casual fans up.
Sure.
You know, David Mulk, 41 reps, that makes Sarah Bartlett happy. I mean, our number is 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. Time for you to join in on the conversation. Next hour, we'll hear from Jermaine Marshall. We continue with the Steve Jones Show on WKOK.
Live from Progressive.
Flo here with breaking news. Let's go to Jim in the chopper.
Hey, Flo, looks like Progressive is offering the Snapshot discount. It's their biggest discount ever. Should be huge.
That's big, Jim. But what's with the chopper?
What do you mean? It's a chopper! Choppers are sweet!
They kinda are.
The Snapshot discount. It's new, it's a big deal, and it's finally here. Learn more at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy. Snapshot is not available in all states.
An ounce of prevention, 5 quarts of oil, another 5,000 miles. However you measure car care, get more at Midas. For just $24.99, Midas will change your oil, rotate your tires, and check your brakes. All just $24.99. A small price to help keep your car running longer. Midas. Total car care. Total customer care.
Up to 5 quarts conventional oil, taxes, and shop fees extra. Most vehicles at participating Midas.
Don't know what to get sweetie for after Valentine's Day? Jewelry? Nah. Chocolate? Forget about it. Your special honey wants a new smartphone from Simply Cellular, your locally owned Verizon-authorized wireless retailer with locations in Lewisburg and Shamokin Dam. Whether adding a smartphone to your current Verizon wireless plan or looking for a new phone or wireless internet service, Simply Cellular is your low-price, high-service leader with over 14 years' experience serving the Susquehanna Valley. As always, Simply Cellular will include a home charger, car charger, and phone book and photo transfer, a $50 value, absolutely free. Avoid the heartbreak of those mall stores. That's Simply Cellular, your Verizon-authorized wireless retailer. Taylor, Route 15 next to CVS Pharmacy in Lewisburg. Call 523-3333. And Routes 11 and 15 next to Pizza Hut, Shamokin Dam. 743-4500. Simply Cellular. Simply the best. Open 7 days a week. And parents, enjoy our child-safe play zone while you shop at Simply Cellular.
When your life is on the line, every minute counts. You need quality heart care that you can trust. At Evangelical Community Hospital, life-saving cardiovascular care is right here in the central Susquehanna Valley. Evangelical Community Hospital has the latest technology in heart care and an experienced team of experts who know how to use it. Advanced heart care is now only a heartbeat away. For more information, visit evanhospital.com or call 522-2885. Evangelical Community Hospital. Excellence every day.
Greetings, everyone. Here's what's happening in the central Susquehanna Valley. It is Monday, February 27th, 2012. The spring volleyball leagues are getting underway at the Sunbury YMCA. They are currently organizing their spring volleyball league. It will consist of 6-person teams. The league begins Thursday, March 8th, and runs for 8 weeks. The fee is $65 per team and $25 for non-members. The first 12 teams to register will be accepted. For more information on the Spring Volleyball League at the Sunbury YMCA, call 286-5636. That's 286-5636. The Milton Rotary Pizza Hut fundraiser is Monday. It is from 11 a.m. until 8 p.m. The Milton Rotary Club will receive 10% of your total dine-in or carry-out bill from the Pizza Hut in Lewisburg. For more information, go to WKOK.com. Click on our community calendar for today, Monday the 27th.
It's been a week since the Sarah Bartlett birthday. And we're wondering, in the face of mounting criticism, whether her actually did do anything.
Well, I thought if I did do something at that point, it would, you know, really look like I was, you know, trying to do something. So I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait for a special moment where that absolutely has no significance tied to it for anything, and just do a something nice for you moment day.
So, in other words, you're not going to do anything.
No, not really.
Unbelievable.
We've known each other too long. Can't get anything by you, can I? Hey, how about
the rose between the thorns?
How about Kobe's broken nose in an All-Star game? I didn't think anybody put that much effort into an All-Star game to get a broken nose.
Yeah.
And the question is, did anybody watch it?
I saw some of it.
I forgot it was on.
Well, it's on TNT. Let's start with that.
Well, that's one of the problems. But I mean, you know, there was so much other stuff going on that day that it just blended away. It blended into the background and didn't even think anything about it. It looks like the defense kind of blended in the background too.
Well, the defense isn't going to be in an exhibition like that. Except on one play where Kobe went in and got smacked.
Yeah. Well, was it who did it? Was it Durant? Yeah, I think it was Kevin Durant that actually...
Durant?
I think he was the one that actually hit him with it.
Was it Durant or...
No, it was
Dwayne Wade.
It was Dwayne Wade. You're right.
Wade hit him. Durant's on his team.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. it was Wade that hit him with it.
Yeah.
And then they weren't quite sure it was a broken nose, and then the x-rays, or whatever they did to it, found out that it was later on.
A broken nose.
Now, does he have to wear one of those guards for the remainder of the season now?
I don't know.
Why
don't you call and get him on the show?
You know what? I could do that.
You do that. You're the producer.
All right.
By the way, Nate Stupar ran a 4.75.40. Very good. What you want. He did fine there. I mean, the one thing he's going to bring to the table is an every-down linebacker that understands the proper depth of a drop that you need to have as a linebacker. And in the NFL, where pass coverage is critical, the ability to react to the pass and to make yourself a factor in the pass game, you have to understand the depth of a drop of a linebacker. He understands that. That will help him very much. And he's quick enough. You know, the time was good enough. Although Jack Crawford ran a 4.76. Now, Crawford could have played tight end at Penn State. And, he could have. Early in his career, there had been some thought about maybe he could play tight end. But they kept him at the defensive end spot, and he ran a really good time. But, once again... You know, I'm not going to put too much. I think you could knock yourself out of this by turning in a poor time. You can knock yourself out in the draft by having a weak standing in the bench press. But I think it's all really from the top guys comes down to individual workouts and how they feel about you. And are the Eagles pursuing that second overall pick in the draft? And what could they offer? News at the top of the hour from CBS, then Sarah Bartlett on WKOK.
Your station for news, weather, business, and Fox Sports Radio is News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.